So Walter and I have been working with a discipleship training program over the winter. It's a discipleship training course. We're going to call it DTC. That's easier. And it's a 10-week course, and we've been meeting twice a week, 3 hours each time. So that's like 6 hours a week. And this amazing group has been there. So we are here this Sunday to tell you what's been going on in that group. We went on a trip with them, and we went to Nipawin, Saskatchewan. That's 8 hours from here, and did a one-week outreach with these guys. And we are excited about what God is doing in our lives and also what he's doing by our lives outside of us. So we want to share that with you today. Now, I believe that probably everybody here wants to be a more effective disciple for Jesus. You know, isn't that always your desire? Like, I just want to do better for him. You know, and I believe that everybody here longs to hear God's voice more and more clearly and more often. And today we wanted to share that what God has been doing in those ways, talking to us, speaking to us, and then that obedience brings us into what he's doing, and we can see where he's working. So we just want to share that with you today. We're just hoping that this course can be repeated. So if you're today, if you're watching this and you go, you know what, I really want to do that, just talk to any of these guys or Walter or myself, and we will let you know the dates. There's also coming up May the 30th, which isn't that far away. We're going to be starting a course called Listening to God. And that is all about hearing God, hearing his voice. You know, I talk to some people and they just go, seriously, like you hear God's voice? You know what? That's the right of every single believer. We all can hear God's voice. And he wants us to hear his voice. Yeah. So that's going to be starting May 30th. This one is only once a week, and it's only for 2 hours a week. So, hey, that's a breeze, right, guys? So it's going to be on Mondays. And again, if you're interested in that, just talk to Walter and I, and we'll give you all the details and where and when. So let us know. The more, the better. God loves this when we're actually striving to hear his voice. And so we are going to start with one of our songs.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the songs that we're going to be doing today aren't really songs you hear in a church service very often. So you can listen to those. But this first one is, Who Am I That the Lord of All the Earth Would Care to Know Who I Am? Who am I, right? Aren't we all just sinners saved by grace, and grace that was given to us before we were even aware of it? That's really amazing, my friends. It's really amazing what God is doing. So, all my friends, do you notice how multicultural we are? God designed that. We got Korea here, representative, right? We got Moldova, and also one of the stands. I can't pronounce it. Yeah, that one. And yeah, so God has used us. He used us to share the gospel and to share his love. So if you're able, can you stand with us? And we're going to sing together. I'll just ask the team when they come up to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Jeff. Okay. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? That opening line from Who Am I speaks to me. The passage of John 6:44 as well. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. Has been an important passage to me since I became a Christian roughly 3.5 years ago. Over the years I battled within myself. I could find no peace, which is what I sought. I was very uncomfortable with my life and what I perpetrated on others. I could deal with what had been done to me, but because of my actions, I could find no peace. Throughout my life, Jesus was in the back of my mind, but I never let him in. Whether it was my self-consciousness or that I appear weak as well, there was a feeling that I'd never find acceptance. I decided to let Jesus enter my life when I was about 54 at the time, and I felt that I had achieved nothing and had caused harm as well. Since Jesus entered my life, I have met tremendous people who had a strong positive effect on my life. These people have been there for me and have not tried to judge. Jesus has given me peace and comfort in my life, though I still battle with what I had done in my past. After 50-something years of drugs, violence, and stupidity, asking Jesus into my life was the best decision I could have made. In my past, I failed on my dreams through stupidity and managed to achieve all my nightmares. Now is the time to walk with Jesus in my life and do something positive for my remaining years. Thank you.
Isn't that encouraging? It's just like, you know, only God can change a heart.
It's only God. We can just tell things. We can just say things.
Good morning, church family. My name is Melanie. I want to share with you what DTC meant to me and what are some things that I learned. I was very excited to join DTC. I was feeling dry, hungering for a deeper knowledge of God. I really wanted my family to join me, but alas, I could not convince them. I wanted the structure of setting aside time to focus on my relationship with God. The most important thing I learned was God is not finished with me yet. There is more healing to be done, but God is gently guiding me through. Yes, I learned exciting and profound ideas from the coursework, but the practice of taking time to pray and listen to God and to trust that what I was hearing was God speaking to me, that was the best part for me. The most interesting prayer I had during the course was when I saw purple. We had been focusing our prayer to ask what we should be praying for Nipawin before we went there in person. I closed my eyes, and I saw something like a purple cloud or wave swirling around. At first, I thought it was just something I was imagining, but every time I closed my eyes, that was what I saw. Chris and Walter asked the group what we heard God saying, and I held back at first and then decided to risk looking like a fool and said, "Purple?" You will learn how God used the color purple from my fellow students. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, I was not able to go on the outreach. But one of the verses I felt strongly that I should pray for the team while they were on outreach was Psalm 70, verse 4. "But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, 'God is great!'" Throughout DTC, God repeatedly gave us words like joy, celebration, childlike faith, play, to encourage those who he sends us to. This is my hope for us as a church family, that we would experience God's joy, celebration, childlike faith, and yes, even play. He loves us so much. He wants us to give him our burdens so that we can be free from stress, worry, and fear. There is nothing we can do to make him love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make him love us less. He wants us to seek him first, surrender everything to him, which I'm still working on, including our own logical reasoning, for it can hold us back, and then follow where he leads. As in the past, when God asked his children to step into the Red Sea, to walk around Jericho, to spread blood on doorposts, to wash in the dirty river, to cast fish nets on the other side of the boat, sometimes God asks us to simply trust him so we can be amazed at what God will do. The DTC instruction was really good, and to hear so many testimonies of God's goodness was so amazing. I don't really want to tell you because I really want each one of you to take part in a DTC, whether you are a brand new believer or have been a believer for more years than you can count. You are guaranteed to learn something new. Some of my favorite topics were the Father Heart of God, spiritual warfare, experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit, creating a culture of the unoffendable heart, leadership, living in joy and not in fear, and missions. The cool thing is that what I learned was not simply head knowledge, like a school course or theology, but it was heart knowledge. I know my relationship with God was deepened, and I also bonded with my fellow students. So, the next time you have an opportunity to attend a DTC, please do not hesitate. It is definitely worth the investment of time, especially investing it in something that really matters and will impact you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Hello, everyone. My name's Leah, and first I want to share a little experience. So as Melanie said, that she saw the purple, like the color purple, and while we were still here in Winnipeg, we would pray for our outreach. And in the coming weeks, when we were finally on our outreach, we went on a prayer walk. And what we would do is split into groups, and we would go out into the city, and I mean the little town, and we would just pray for the people on the streets and just the town in general. But as we were walking, after our prayer walk, heading back to the vehicles, we decided to turn onto another street. And what do you know? The first house we came across had purple trimming on the door and the windows. Obviously, we stopped and knocked on the door, and an elderly man came to the door. We asked if he needed a prayer, and he said that his wife was ill and in lots of pain. We prayed with him, and he seemed very grateful. Something I learned from this experience is that God is speaking to all of us. We just have to listen and obey. One of our speakers from our program said that God's heart isn't about the work. He is about relationship. And oftentimes we see what God didn't do, but instead we should listen, and maybe he'll tell you what you need to do in order to grow his kingdom. I want all of you to remember that he wants to talk to you. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. My name is Hanyu from Project Avenue Church. Actually, I added some more stories in my testimony, so maybe it's a little bit different. So I'm going to share my testimony of prayer work during the outreach. But first, I want to share why we have prayed for Lipuan before we go to the town. We didn't really know about the town, so we just prayed. God let us know why we have to pray and what we have to look for during the outreach. So more we like leaning on the Jesus at the time. One day when we pray, Melanie said, God is showing me a purple color. So we are not sure what it means. However, we just keep it in faith and try to find anything with purple color during the outreach. On our first prayer work, we went to the street to bless people. Before we start, we pray that give us the Holy Spirit and let us be boldness to approach people. Especially for me to talk to strangers and about Jesus on the street is not common in my culture. And it's very awkward. However, I tried to be in faith as we prayed. After a few minutes, Alex pointed out one lady and said, we have to pray for that lady who is wearing braces. So we just went straight to the lady. And first, we asked, what if we pray for the healing? And then we prayed. After prayer, she started to take off her braces and said, I was wearing these braces for 2 weeks and couldn't stand up, but now I can. I cannot believe this. To be honest, I didn't expect that she will be healed because I didn't have any experience with the healing miracles. I felt God's presence and God wanted to speak to her. I didn't know what to pray or what to say to her in English, because I'm not used to. But as I start, the Holy Spirit told me what to pray. On our second prayer walk, We went further down to the street. We couldn't see many people than the first prayer walk. So this time we tried to find anything with the purple color and pray for that. About after 10 minutes, we found a house that painted with purple color. We had no doubt we should go there and pray for that person who lives in. It was very purple. Because we don't know what happened until we do the actions. When we locked the door, a guy came out and he was Larry. His name was Larry, who we met at the Holiness Church on our first day. We were quite surprised, but we asked him if he has any prayer requests. He told us he actually got a COVID at the time, and he's just staying home, and we felt he got depressed. So we pray for him, and we left there. With this experience, I'm confident to say God is alive, and he works through us. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. We are chosen as Christians. We are chosen to do what God told us to do for his glory. This is not because of who we are, because who God is. God is greater than we think. He won't let us be alone where he sent us. I'm prepared to choose to whatever he speaks to me for his glory, because God is in me all the time, and it will be done by him. Thank you for listening.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, there's a town of 4,500, and they got a house that looks like that. That is one of the ugliest houses I've ever seen. Like, there isn't a spot on that except for the roof and the trim that aren't purple. And God knew that guy needed prayer. It's amazing. Go ahead, my brother.
Good morning, church. My name is Jaden. So the DTC outreach was just a week, so it wasn't really long. But in that short time, I've experienced so much of God's presence and blessings and grace. So I want to share you about one of the highlights during the outreach. It was the third day of the outreach. I had a wonderful morning and the afternoon. And after supper, our whole group went to a small church called Healing Hurts. As soon as I walked into that church, I felt relieved, nostalgic, and homesick. The scent and the atmosphere of that church was exactly the same as my previous church before I moved to Winnipeg. And this was really meaningful to me, because when I started going to that church was when I really got to build my relationships with God with enthusiasm. Anyways, during the service, Leah, Sunhyu, and Alex shared their testimonies, and we were very blessed as they prayed for each of us who shared their stories. And during all the events like worshiping and other things, I was really ensured that at that time in the church, God's presence was fully there, and that every single person that were there were filled with the Holy Spirit. Even when we were singing one of our worship songs, I was so amazed that just being there and looking at all of those people that were praising the Lord, I was like, this is amazing grace. It was marvelous. I was very happy that God was using me. So after all that, throughout the outreach, I learned and experienced that our mighty God has plans and leads, and he leads us through his path. And additionally, I highly encourage all of you guys to join this kind of thing, like DTC, if you guys have an opportunity. Thank you.
Hey, church family. My name is Jeremy, and I was blessed to be able to attend this outreach during our DTTC course, and it really helped me change perspectives on things, and I really am glad that I joined it, and I had a wonderful time. I was one of the later members joining this course because I honestly thought that it would be too hard on me, since I always wanted to have free time, slack off, and doing anything I want after school. I really didn't want to join at all when it was first brought up, but my heart changed one night when I was really struggling with my own thoughts and about the future and what I really wanted to do. Then I thought of DTC, and I remembered that I should ask God if I really, like, what I should do and that I needed help. This was a great opportunity to strengthen my relationship with God and know more, but still, not going to lie, I was still hesitant in going. In the end, though, I ended up signing up for it since I knew that I had to force myself out of my comfort zone to fix my problems in faith and my life in general. Joining DTC really helped me learn more about God and perspectives that I wouldn't even think about, and got me thinking of my faith ever more than before. The lessons made me realize that God really is there for me when I need Him, and I just have to let Jesus take control of my life. And I really struggle to do that. The whole course really shaped me to be more open with my faith and to be more open to learning as well. During the outreach, I want to highlight my experience working with the youth at Holiness Church. It was a completely new experience for me. I was nervous since I had to think of like a game to play with the youth with Jaden. And I was more nervous of sharing my testimony. I never shared it before. I had a lot of doubtful thoughts going into the youth night, but I trusted that it would go out fine, and all I needed to do was have faith. The game went well, and everyone looked like they had fun, and my testimony went great, since I knew it was the Holy Spirit that guided me while I was speaking. And I felt like we really affected the people in that youth that night. Joining this DCC course really taught me a lot and changed me to have a better relationship with God and a hunger to get closer to Him. Thank you for listening.
Hello, my name is Nadia. For quite some time now, Alex, my husband, and I were thinking how good it would be to go on a mission trip as a family. However, time after time, this dream was kind of pushed back for later. Later when kids will grow up a little bit. Later when our other things would fall into a place. I know that God was working in me during this waiting period, and His timing is perfect. Last summer, my family suffered a big loss. My father suddenly passed away, and this really, really shook me. I started to ask questions that I hadn't asked before. I was dealing with anger, condemnation, fear, and doubt. Why pray if God determined their outcome? It was really dark time. But God was so gracious. He was sending people to remind me that He is good and that He is loving Father. People were constantly praying for me, for my family, and they were praying with me together. And like never before, I realized that I needed to set my heart to seek the Lord. And when back in November, Chris and Walter came to our church and shared their testimony of what God was doing in their lives. I knew that I wanted to get to know them better. We were excited to find out that they were starting the discipleship training course in our church. And I didn't want to miss this opportunity to learn more about God through this course. During the 10 weeks of DTC, we went through lots of important topics that impacted me each in different way. Topics such as intercessory prayer, nature and character of God, Father's love for hurting generation, hosting the presence of God, spiritual warfare, and others. During each meeting, we practiced some of the things we learned from our sessions. We shared life together. We had moments of joy and celebration and moments of tears as we prayed for each other. Together, we practiced hearing God's voice. I realized that I that so much was going on in my mind that I had to learn how to be still before the Lord and how to listen to His voice. I also learned that I needed to ask God what is on His heart and that I should pray for that. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." As we were praying for our trip to Nipawin, we were praying that God would show us how we could serve the people there. We wanted to be ready and available to do anything God asks of us. As some already shared, we had worship services or youth nights with some churches. But at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we helped with cleaning, such cleaning that is usually not done on a regular basis, like baseboard cleaning or ceiling lamps dusting. And while we were cleaning, we were praying in each room, asking God to bless that church. And interesting enough, the front doors of this church were also purple, as well as the countertops. Apparently, people in Nipawin love purple color. Pastor of that church was busy during that day, and we didn't get to meet him personally, but when we were still in Winnipeg, God showed us that we needed to pray for him specifically. I wanted to say that this outreach trip was a blessing for me and for our family, and I really hope that we were also a blessing for the people that we met. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Mark, and I was asked to share a testimony about the DTC outreach. I didn't take the course, but I went on the outreach with my family. On the outreach, we stayed at the Nipawin Bible College, just outside of the town of Nipawin. One of the highlights I really remembered was chapel. Almost every morning, the students would gather and sing songs, and some of the students would share their testimonies and how God changed their lives at the college. I even got to know some of the students, and I was surprised that they were so friendly and always included me. Before the outreach, I didn't know Jaden, Jeremy, and Sunhue that well. All I knew was there were some guys playing the drums and the bass guitar at our church. But now, I see how they teach me when I need the help, and and I learned a lot from the outreach. Thank you.
It makes a sound. So I'm Nadia's husband, Alex. She pointed that out. I also wanted to share a little bit more, maybe give you a short snippet of one of the sessions that really touched my heart. And it was called Culture Shift. I'm not sure it's there. It's a little bit off. But anyway, there was five culture shifts that were teaching like every Christian should walk or should, you know, strive to have this in their lives. And the first one was the culture of unoffendable heart. I thought about speaking on that a little bit, but, you know, I'm still not ready. And the second one was the culture of the courageous heart of Christ. This one is that's what I chose to speak on. I think that was so kind of in line. I really experienced God saying that, This is the one to choose, because just seeing all of people doing public speaking, actually sharing their stories. Even, you know, my kids too, speaking in front of people, they really had to have a courageous heart. You know, a lot of people say they would rather die than do public speaking. So I'll speak on that one. And there was three other ones: the culture of humility, the culture of faith, and the culture of the surrendered heart. And all of these really, really spoke to my heart, because I think we, as Christians, we need to be more and more like Jesus. We need to strive to not be offended when people do offend us. We need to be courageous and not really live or thinking what people would think of us, right? Like having that fear of men or approaching strangers like we tried on the prayer walk. We need to strive to be humble as our Lord Jesus demonstrated that for us, as well as having that childlike faith. You know, I think there was another session about being like a child was really touched that as well. And then culture of a surrendered heart. And I think it's a lot of times, I know in my heart, you know, especially when sometimes we sing a song, I surrender all, I have a hard time saying those words, because I know in my heart, have I surrendered all? Am I willing to lay down my life, everything that I have? Those questions came, you know, as we listened to those stories, those teachings, and as, you know, Melanie said, and Nadia also, those are really heart knowledge. You know, the speakers, they didn't just taught you, you know, five basic principles or these. They shared their stories as well, how God was teaching them, how God was leading them. And that really, you know, touched my heart, because there's a lot of ways, you know, in my life, I have a lot of head knowledge, and I really needed to hear that, to see people walking in obedience to what God is calling them. So the culture of a courageous heart, I wanted to speak on that, because this is something that I struggle with, and even to this day, I think we all kind of have different aspects: the fear of men, fear of public speaking, the fear of, I don't know, death. I don't know. You put. We all have fears, different phobias, and we need to understand who we are in Christ to really, you know, see fear face to face and go forward, you know, step through that open door that God might offering us. Because in the end, fear, I don't know if you heard of a song, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. I think it's the spirit of fear who tries to prevent you from walking out what God has in store for us. And if we just, you know, conquer that, we would understand who we are in Christ and do that, you'll be surprised what God does. As you heard stories, what Son Hugh shared, you know, when we took the time to pray for that woman and God healed her. Now, there was times where we didn't experience that in our lives, that healing didn't come, but that step of faith, that praying for someone, could really encourage the person. I remember first time I prayed for a deaf man at my work, and I remember just kind of crawling, not crawling, but, you know, just kind of making sure nobody saw me and asking, you know, can I pray for you? And nothing happened. You know, prayed again, nothing happened. But at the end, the person said to me, hey, thank you for caring. Thank you for your interest. And that was, for me, it was like a realization. Wow, okay, God, he just felt your love, because you were talking to me to pray for him. And I don't know, maybe timing's not there. I don't know what's going on in that spiritual realm, but my obedience is more important than the results, right? Than the miraculous. I think God wants us to be obedient children. So, you know, understanding that fear is a liar, understanding your identity, and taking that step to step out in courage. There was one thing I wanted to share. I forget now what it was. Now I remember. So basically, in one of the sessions, the person said, if you knew exactly that for the next, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you're not going to die. You can do whatever you want. You're not going to die. What would you do? You know, some people might actually try public speaking. Just kidding. skydiving or whatever it is, right? Some crazy things, you know. I would, you know, get the fastest car and race down the racetrack. Whatever it is, you would try that. You would step out in courage. And then he said, well, you know what? Your days are numbered. You know, God knows exactly. And you're never going to die before your time. I forget what exactly he said exactly, but he said that until your time on earth is done, right? Or something like that, until your work is done, like, you're going to do whatever needs to be done. And God's going to keep you alive until your work on earth is done. I think something like that. And that really also spoke to me, that taking those steps of faith, of courage, and maybe you'll be approaching a person at work. Maybe you'll be approaching a person who you go to school or your neighbor. Maybe you'll be just out on the street as you're, you know, doing grocery shopping or just walking around, taking a walk, and you would see a person and you would ask, can I pray? can I share my life story? I think that's also, especially if you have a relationship of some kind, you can share your life story, what God did in your life, be it how you came to know the Lord or maybe something you've experienced this week. I want to bless you, because I think the last thing that I wanted to share is that after the DTC, you know, we were kind of in the bubble. You know, we had Nippon Bible College, we had Chris and Walter with us, all people that are ready to follow the Lord and take those steps of faith. And then we were kind of on this high, right? That spiritual high, and lots of stories, you know, visited churches. But right now, we're back to reality. We're back to work, back to school. And what's next? What can we do next? And I think the encouragement that Chris and Walter said to us is that it doesn't have to stop. You know, it'll be different, but it doesn't have to stop. As you go to work, as you're going out, think about what God wants you to do. Who does God want you to talk to? Hear him. Listen to him, right? And take those steps of faith. Have courage. Know who you are in Christ. And fear is a liar. Last moment, actually, I wanted to share. I really feel this is important, because after, I think, a week or so after DTC, we went to the store. We parked, and Nadia went to the store. We stayed in the car with the kids. And kids noticed this man on the wheelchair. And I kind of, it's always like inconvenient. You're like, oh, what am I going to say? Should I talk to him? Should I not? And I just staying in the car, and he was moving very, you know, slowly across the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, I need to do something. So I stepped out and asked him about, and interesting enough, he's like, my wheelchair is out of power. Can you help? And it was really interesting. Like, I was like, okay, Lord, thank you for, you know, connecting me. And rolled him to a store, so asked the cashier to, you know, plug him in so he could have power to get where he needs to get. And he was really happy. He told, his name is Israel. It's interesting enough. So I shared, Israel, you know, God's, that's Jacob, God's nation. And asked him, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. Nothing really happened. I prayed for healing, but, you know, I don't know what God wants to do in his life. And then as I was stepping away, he asked, like, can you also pray for my son? And I prayed for his son as well, and just felt God, you know, I needed to speak for him, speak that God is going to bring restoration between him and his son. And yeah, it was just a beautiful moment of me just taking that step of faith, praying for the person, giving him a hug, and just, you know, saying that, like, gave him a tract, right? But saying that God cares for you. He knows He knows you more than I know you, and he wants to reveal himself in a greater way to you. So just, I think, if I wanted to leave you with something, that as you walk out the door of the church, this is the mission field. We went to a mission fest yesterday or the day before, and there's a lot of missions, but missions is everywhere, right? It's as soon as you step out of this bubble, there's the mission field. May God bless you, and yeah, may God encourage you in this. I think this is all that I wanted to share. Thank you.
God is so gracious. And you know, it's not like he's going, okay, what's your most biggest fear in your life? Let's face it right now. You know, he's not up there he is a gentle, beautiful father who's going, you know what? Let's do this together. And I'm going to hold your hand. And you know, it's often like when a dad and a son are walking together and a little guy, and he goes, are you scared of that? And you know, you can see this kid going, yeah. And what does the father do? He picks him up and he walks. He's holding him. He's carrying him. Yeah. And that little guy isn't scared at all. Why? Because he's with his father. You know, DTC is about learning about us. You know, what are those things in our heart that we're afraid of? But it's also about learning who Jesus is. And how when we, you know, we take like, yeah, this is me, and I'm not, you know, I don't live up to certain things here and there. But Jesus said, hey, it's me. I'm going to be the one that does that through you. And so we got a little sketch just to finish the morning off. And this sketch is sort of showing where we were, what is God working on, and what's he doing now in our lives. Behold, former things have passed away. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in all of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all that dwell in them. Canada, Manitoba, you who dwell on the prairies, Winnipeg, Maranatha Church, praise the Lord.